shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again, over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing, come and now honor your word. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, oh that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are calling, but for the showers we plead.
Well, good morning. Welcome, everyone. So glad to see you here. You know, I picked this song before we had all those wonderful showers this weekend. So praise the Lord. Doesn't that go together well? We've certainly seen lots of showers of blessings, and we constantly see those showers of blessings coming from God. So just a couple announcements as we begin here. Just a note that following this morning's worship service, we will be having our CBM for the final vote. That's going to take place at 1:30, but following our service, we're going to have just a carry-in meal. I hope that you can stay and at least enjoy the meal if you're not going to stay and vote. So stay, fellowship, just enjoy the time together here. And then at 1:30, we will be taking really a historic vote here in the Church of Moscow. So I hope that if you're a member, you'll be able to stay and participate in that vote as well. Just a note that I will be and my family will be on vacation from July 17th through or 11th through the 17th. In fact, we'll be leaving shortly after the business meeting. We have to get home and throw all the stuff in a suitcase and run. But anyways, we're leaving this evening and then won't be back till Saturday. So just take note that if you have a need, though, or something happens, Janet Good, our head deacon, and the deacons are always available. If you have any questions about that, just see me after the church or after church or Janet, and you should have a deacon always available to help you in your time of spiritual need while I'm away. Just a reminder, and I know you've seen on the bulletin as you come in, that ice cream social is coming up on Sunday, July 24th. Just praying that it'll be a nice weekend, nice sunny day for that, 6:30 p.m. Hoping to do that outside on the lawn. So bring your lawn chairs and your appetite for some good ice cream. And invite a friend. Again, I've just kind of been saying, what an opportunity to invite maybe some friends or someone that you maybe had been wanting to bring to church. What a great way to kind of introduce them to the Fellowship of Moscow through that simple event. Also, just take note, I will be away as well in Pennsylvania, Elizabethtown, July 25th through the 30th for some continued education, get my edumacation, and I'll be back to be back edumacated. Okay, are there any other announcements that you'd like to share at this time? With that, let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we know that even in this historic day in the life of the Church of Moscow, we know that Your eye is upon us, Lord, that You are attentively looking upon us. Lord, we just pray for Your guidance today, Your direction. Lord, we want Your Spirit to continue to move in our midst. Lord, that we might follow You and seek You, and Lord, just seek to please You in all that we do here at Your church, Lord. So we just ask for Your help today. We seek Your blessing. And Lord, we just praise You all the more. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Let's stand together for this morning's call to worship. Janet, I think we can all agree that was beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. This coming from 2 Chronicles 7:14, inside of your bulletins, says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land." Let's turn in our hymnals, page 295. Revive Us Again, page 295.
Hallelujah, thine the glory.
wish you could just hear from my perspective how wonderful that sounds, that the voice is singing, just the sound and plea for revival. We need revival, don't we? We need revival in this nation. We need revival in our communities. We need revival in all the world. But revival starts right here, doesn't it? It starts right here in the church house. That's where revival happens. And I just thank God that you are here this morning because you're seeking God and you're seeking revival in your life and in the life of this nation. And praise the Lord for that. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we truly need revival in this nation in which we live, Lord, as we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about the alarm for America. Father, I just pray that you bring about revival in our nation. And Lord, I pray that it starts right here in the local community church, that there's revival again. Lord, there's so many churches right around us this morning. They don't get to hear this great, beautiful, sounding volume of voices. Lord, there's only one or two or three or four in their congregation. Lord, we need revival. Lord, we see what is happening to our world today. We see the destructive forces working against our nation and against our government. And Lord, we know that these are the powers of Satan. And Lord, to combat that, we need your revival here in this nation. Lord, help us to be revived again. Even as we sang and pleaded, Lord, let us be revived again. And pray that revival starts right here, even in our own community. Lord, we just praise you this morning. We praise you for the revival in which we seek. And Lord, we know that as much as we seek it, Lord, you desire for us to have it. Lord, we just praise you now. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. Just a couple announcements as we begin here. Prayer requests. We got some prayer requests. There is an announcement in the prayer request. I guess that's why I thought of that. And I'll share that with you. But if you have just something to write down, a couple of prayer requests I'd like for you to jot down and just be in prayer for these particular people. First of all, would you put down on your list Faye Hall? Maybe you got that email or that phone call for Faye Hall to be praying for her on our prayer chain. But Faye, of course, had a surgery, just a simple cataract surgery, a few weeks ago, and unfortunately she is not having very good results with that. She's still having a lot of blurriness in her vision and is still trying to recover from that. She had an appointment on Friday that she went to. I haven't got an update yet on how that went, but I think she was very nervous about her vision not being where it should be right now. So if you would, just lift up Faye Hall and Ken. Maybe you know that couple. They certainly need your prayers, and Faye needs your prayers. And just pray that her vision will get better. Also, if you would you lift up Buck Brown? That is Joyce's brother, Joyce Clatterball. And she shared with me just a little bit ago that her brother has been diagnosed with cancer. She said it was stage 4. And so if you would, just be in prayer for her brother. His name is Buck. And just lift him up in prayer that God would just be with him and the family there as they go through next steps. So I think that he had just found this out. And so just be in prayer for the direction and guidance for that family and just for overall strength to get through this. Also, I've been shared the name Joe Weimer. Just be in prayer for her, please. Joe Weimer. Also, the announcement I was going to make, that's how I got confused. But today is Avery and Lainey Lambert birthday, and they're sitting back here with Pam and Jennifer, and we just celebrate their birthday. Twins. So who's first, Jennifer? Twins?
I'd like to tell them that they both came out of the
center. Okay, there is no first. Lainey's 2 minutes early. Well, Avery and Lainey, we certainly celebrate your birthday, and we're glad that you're here celebrating it with us today. So praise the Lord for that. And Are there other prayer requests, Pauline?
J.C. Botkin.
Okay, J.C. Botkin, if you will. Okay. Also, that makes me think Greg Cummings will be having surgery again tomorrow. Okay, so if you would, you know, Greg just had knee replacement, and he's going to be back getting knee replacement again. So if you would, lift up Greg Cummings. I know a lot of times you don't see them, but they're outside oftentimes listening on the radio, outside in the parking lot. And Cindy works as a nurse, so sometimes she just getting off work or going to work. So anyways, if you would, just be in prayer for Greg as he has his second knee replacement. First one went good, so we just pray the second one goes as well. Bambi? Okay. Betty Dean is going to be having surgery. That's Kevin's mom. So if you would just be in prayer for her, Betty Dean. Thank you, Bambi. Certainly, we want to be in prayer. As I've said earlier, just be in prayer for the meeting, the CBM meeting that we're going to be having following service. Just continue to be in prayer for that. Just pray for our church. Pray for Moscow. We're just so blessed God's hand has been upon this church. I know it. I've seen it. And we just pray that that continues and that God continues to bless us here at Moscow. And I think that's just our prayer. Okay.
Nicole, and the results from her first phase came out really, really well. I was very pleased with it. And this week she will start the second phase. And this is, her mom said she hates to even think about it. They have to give her a really strong drug because they're going to do a bone marrow transplant. And they have to kill everything. And the drug they're going to give her will actually cause her skin to burn. She will have burn marks. And her mama won't be able to pick her up unless she's gowned and gloves and everything, because it can pass back and forth. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a very trying time, because this is not, she was 18 months old. I don't know when her birthday is. So she was 18 months when she started this. So she's not, a kid that you can tell too much.
Right. This is a little girl from the Churchville area?
Yes.
That's right.
Her daddy is a doctor.
Yep. Thanks for that update. We'll just continue to pray for God's healing through this very difficult treatment, it sounds like. Billy?
If y'all remember me Tuesday.
Okay.
Shot in my back.
Okay, Billy. Be praying for your back to feel better and heal. I know that's something that Billy's been fighting, so we just pray that that shot will do the work that it's supposed to, and just pray that God works through that to heal your back, Billy. Anyone else? Okay. Jimmy Roberts, if you would, be in prayer for him and a knee replacement that didn't go well.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Robin.
And the church itself, we'd like to have safe travels for your prayer.
Oh, thank you. Hopefully safer than the last trip I made, which I blew a tire out. Maybe my tires, hopefully my tires are good this time, so. Deborah said already, I need to make sure I check the tires before we go. Better make sure that I have air in the spare tire. That's the main one, right? Anyone else? With that, let's have our ushers come forward and collect our tithes and our offerings. Thank you. Let's stand together in prayer. You bow your heads with me. Grace, Heavenly Father, we come before you here this morning as your people. Lord, as your humble servants. And Lord, we humble ourselves before you. Lord, we seek your way in our life. We seek your purpose, your will. Lord, we receive all that you desire for us to have. Lord, we pray that you hold nothing back. But Lord, all the blessing and goodness that you desire for us to have, Lord, we pray even now that you might give that unto us. Not as we deserve it, Lord. We've not done anything to deserve your blessing or your goodness. Lord, there's certainly, even as your scriptures say, no good in us. But the one thing that is within us that is good is your Son, Jesus. And Lord, we have received Him and your Holy Spirit into our life. And Lord, we just pray now, even now, that you would bless our lives because of Him. Lord, we pray you would bless our church because of Him. Lord, that you would continue to move in this body, that we might accomplish your will in a dark world, one that is needing, Lord, even as we've sang, needing your revival. Lord, help to strengthen this church with your word and with your spirit, that we might continue to do a good work here in your name. Lord, we pray for those upon our prayer list. There were many names mentioned here this morning. Lord, we lift them each up to you. Lord, just pray your healing hand upon them. Lord, just pray your Holy Spirit will intercede. And Lord, that those that are suffering and those that are sick, those that have been diagnosed with cancer, and Lord, those that are dealing with unseen, hidden things, Lord, we just pray that your hand will be upon them. And Lord, that you might continue to work great miracles, even as we read in the Scriptures, upon those whom we offer to you this morning and place before your throne. Lord, we pray a blessing upon our offering. Pray a blessing upon those who have given here this morning, Lord. Lord, just pray that you continue to bless those who give, and pray that you bless the offering as well, Lord. Just pray that you bless the offering in a way that it might serve you. Lord, we seek not to be glorified ourselves, but we seek only to glorify you and your Son, Jesus. Bless us now as we turn to your scriptures, back again, Lord, to this story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Lord, speak to us again afresh through your Holy Spirit. Draw us close to you, I pray. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things together. Amen. May be seated. Okay, our children's church can be dismissed, as well as our youth Sunday school. And if you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to Genesis 19 again. Genesis 19. Kind of going to be the last sermon here on our look at this Sodom and Gomorrah, which we've been looking at over the past... Well, this will make the third Sunday we've kind of looked at this. Really, as I started this series of sermons, this particular sermon is kind of where my heart was led. And this Alarm for America is how I've titled it, Genesis 19, 12 through 29. And I think that there's a lot to be said, that there's a great deal of comparatives between Sodom and Gomorrah and America. Wouldn't you agree? Seems to be a lot of comparisons between the two. And to me, that means that we should be sounding the alarm in America, shouldn't we? We should be saying to ourselves that if things don't change, we might end up the story of America reading just like the story of Sodom. And we know what happened to Sodom, don't we? That God judged Sodom. And He judged Gomorrah, these two cities, these two great cities. And all their inhabitants and all their wealth and all that they had therein was destroyed, wasn't it? God burned it up with fire and brimstone. And so really this is kind of where my heart was when we started this series, right on this sermon. That in America, it's time to wake up. It's time we take note, especially as the church, of where we are headed, of where things are moving, and that we do not want to end up in America like they were in Sodom. So let's read here again, Genesis chapter 19. I'm going to just pick up here verses 12 through 29. This is kind of the end of the story, really. And then the men said to Lot, "Have you anyone else here?" And I remember the angels had come and they'd called Lot and his family to leave. And so now he's seeking out other family members. He said, "Have you have anyone else here? Son-in-laws, your sons, your daughters, whomever you have in this city, take them out of this place, for we will destroy this place." This is the angel saying. "We will cause an outcry for we will destroy this place because the outcry against them has grown great before the Lord, for the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it." So Lot went out and spoke to his son-in-laws who had married his daughters and said, "Get up. Get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But to his son-in-law, he seemed to be joking. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the fire, punishment of the city." While he lingered, the men took hold of his hand and wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful to him. And they brought him out and set him outside of the city. And so it came to pass that when they had brought them outside, that he said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed." Then Lot said to them, "Please, no, my lords, indeed. Now your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have increased your mercy, which you have shown to me by saving my life, but I can't escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me and I die. See now, this city that is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one, please let me escape there. Is it not a little place? And my soul shall live." And he said to him, "See, I have favor you concerning this thing also, in which I will not overthrow this city for which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there." And therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. And the sun had risen upon the earth, and Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire and Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of heaven. And so he overthrew those cities and the plain and all the inhabitants of the city and what grew on the ground. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abram went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and saw, and behold, the smoke of the land which went up like the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt. Now, the Bible tells us If you remember the first sermon, that the sins of Sodom were great. They were exceedingly great. And this calls God to look disfavorably upon the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember what the sins of Sodom were? Sins of Sodom were first this unbridled sexual passion. Homosexual sin is what the Bible says. And this was just no boundaries when it came to sexuality. You might call them the original sexual revolution. They whatever came to a person's mind when it came to the sexual passions, they indulged themselves, indulged their flesh. And this was exceedingly wicked before the Lord. God held these things as exceedingly wicked before His face. And He judged the city because of this unbridled sexual passion that was taking place there in Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, we think in our minds that the sins of homosexuality and lesbianism and transgenderism, as we think these things are all new. Like, I think some Americans think that we invented these things. They parade around like that that's some type of new thing. But these things have existed for thousands of years, haven't they? These aren't new sins. These aren't new things. I know that they have made up a lot of abbreviations of new sorts of things. It started out with LGBTQ, but you notice that isn't enough anymore. We keep adding to it and adding to it. They've added I and A, intersex, asexual. And then finally, they just put a plus on the end of it because they're not exactly sure what all they're yet they're going to add. But they figure there's going to be more. You know, these sins are not new. It's the same sins. They've just kind of revamped them, haven't they? Made them look modern. Same old time sins, same sins that were happening in Sodom and Gomorrah. They just modernized them. They took these primitive sexual sins and they gave them modern terminology, gave them all kinds of nice abbreviations. These are the same old types of things. The same sin as Sodom is the same sin that we see today. We just have recategorized it. And boy, they got all sorts of categories. You get digging into the homosexual community. You know, you can see in the homosexual community, they actually differ between their definition of what is gender and then what is sexuality. You have to really pay attention because, it's changing so fast in their definitions. But they see a difference between gender. They see a difference between sexuality. Gender for them is the physical characteristics of what a person is born with. But that doesn't necessarily hold true as well. There's a lot of disagreements and changes to that. Whereas the sexuality could be the preference, the sexual preference. It gets twisted. You can't even follow it. I don't even know if they know all the definitions. It gets so complicated and confused that I'm not sure that they're even on the same page. They just kind of, well, when you're just kind of making it up as you go, you can just kind of come up with anything, can't you? And that's kind of how it seems. Sexuality is about preference. And gender is more about, in their minds, more about kind of how a person is physically born. But intersex people, that isn't really true. Intersex people, they say, can be a man trapped in a woman's body and a woman trapped in a man's body. Sexuality, you could be, in their minds, born a girl, think you're a boy, and attracted to boys or girls. It's just confusing, and it makes no sense. And it lines up, I think, exactly what we see in Sodom, this sexual perversion, a perversion of the sexes. There was sexual, homosexual, unbridled passions there. They were without conscience of their sinful wrongdoings, and there weren't even 10 righteous people in the city. Remember that, not even 10. That could be found there. Only 4 escaped with their lives, and one of them didn't even make it out, as we see that Lot's wife looked back and was turned into a pillar of salt. Now, For these 3 weeks, I've kind of been saying that the story of Sodom could absolutely be the story of America. And that's kind of what I want to talk to you about this morning. Has the sins of America become like the sins of Sodom? And is God then looking upon America in the same way, in the same disfavor that He looked upon the city of Sodom and Gomorrah? And then the ultimate question is God going to do to America what He did to Sodom? Well, I tell you, I just don't know the answer to that. I don't know the answer. I think that certainly God is displeased with the sexual perversion that He sees happening in America today. And I think it's time that America must wake up. We must wake up from our sleep and get serious about the sins that are taking place in America today. I think it's time that the church begins to sound the alarm in America. The alarm which tells us that it's time to come before God, repent of our sin, and seek for true revival within our nation. You know, God has not changed His mind when it comes to sin, has He? The same sins that He hated in Sodom, He hates as well today. The Bible hasn't changed. God doesn't change. If God calls something sin, it is sin, isn't it, folks? It does not change. And just because it's accepted by the world doesn't mean that it should be accepted by the church. But certainly we see those things happening today. We need to sound the alarm. Sin has not changed. The church needs to stand up and continue preaching the gospel truth. Preaching the truth. That if God calls these things sins, friends, we must too. We cannot change our definition of what is sin to be something different than what God calls as sin. God will not let sin, not this type of exceedingly wicked sin within a nation, I think He shows us there in Sodom, go unchecked, unrestrained, or unrepented of for very long. At some point, there's a place where God says, I will judge the people for those sorts of sins. I will judge a nation for those sorts of sins. Now, the scripture I want to give you, because the question is for us, what do we do about that? And you've already read that this morning in your call to worship, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Maybe you can turn there. Because the answer to what we're asking, what do we do about it? 2 Chronicles 7:14. This is the answer that we need in our nation. This is what God is calling us to. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. Now, the first thing I want you to see here, really, before I go any further, is that a nation's rise or fall really doesn't necessarily depend on the wickedness within the nation, but upon the righteous people seeking God. Notice there, if my people, He's calling out to the church, isn't He? Didn't I say revival starts within the church? And God says revival with a nation starts right here at the church. I think a lot of times we get to finger pointing about all the problems we have, and we'll say, well, you know, if those who are practicing homosexuality would just straighten up, we would be fine. Or those who are prostituting themselves, or those who are selling drugs, or those who are in all these other sorts of sins, if they would just clean themselves up, we would be fine, right? Those wicked politicians, if they would just start acting righteous, we would be fine. We'd like to point the finger to everyone else, but we don't like to point the finger at us, the church, do we? God says revival starts right here at the church. We have to point the finger right here at us, don't we? It starts with us. We can't point the finger at everyone else. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. He's not talking to the sinner, but he's talking to the saint, isn't he? He's calling to the church that the change must happen first within in the church. Revival of a nation doesn't start in the state house. It doesn't happen in the White House. It doesn't even happen in the crack house. It happens in the church house. Amen? It happens in the church house. When God brings revival, it's not going to come through a government agency or through Congress or through some new law, but through the Holy Church standing up and preaching the gospel message. That's where revival comes from. The second thing I hope that you must see here is that God hates the pride of man. That is, that man cannot fix man's problem. We can't solve our issues alone. We can't do it. Man is prideful. And if we are able to fix our problems, then we'd just end up back in sin because we'd boast about how we fixed our own problems. See the vicious cycle of that? Man cannot fix his own problems. A nation cannot fix itself apart from God. We cannot fix our problems through man's wisdom or man's ability or man's knowledge. The only thing that can fix man's problem is God. And we are to humble ourselves and seek God. Job 12:23 says that God makes the nations rise and then fall. He builds up some and He abandons others. And God is the restorer of nations, isn't He? Listen, we're so blessed in this nation because of God. I know a lot of people would like to deny that. A lot of people would like to think it's something else. But listen, we are. We are a nation that has historically sought God. It's built within the very constitution of our land. You can see it through the documents. You can read it on practically every building in Washington. Take a little tour down through Washington and see how much of God you find on almost every monument that is down there. Right even in the Supreme Court, you find the Ten Commandments there upon the wall. Listen, God is intertwined through the blessing of this nation, and we cannot find revival apart from God. Now, I want to give you here just five quick things which God says to do here for the healing of the land. First of all, believers are to humble themselves. Step one, we are to become humble before God. Why humility? Well, because humility is saying, God, without you, we can do nothing. That we need your help. Adrian Rogers says, pride is the mother of all sins. Really, it truly is, isn't it? If you look back at the original sin of Satan himself, what made Satan fall? Pride, right? Pride is the mother sin, the original sin. And if pride is what got us into this mess, it's humility that will get us out, isn't it? And humility is saying that we must come before God and that we must seek His hand to deliver us. That we can't do it on our own. Pride says we can do it on our own. All we need is just enough knowledge. All I need is just enough schooling. All I need is just enough education and I can figure it all out for myself. That's pride. Humility says, I can't do nothing without you, Lord. I need you to really accomplish anything. I need you. Secondly, we are called for believers to pray. That person, when they humble themselves, the second thing that they seek to do then should be to come before God and to pray out to God. You know, I heard this sermon from Billy Graham. It was really a neat sermon. And he started by talking about that America had overcome three great crises in its history. He goes to say that The first crisis that America overcome in its history, was the Revolutionary War. And there, Valley Forge, thousands of men deserted or died. And he said, there is this beautiful portrait of George Washington. I don't know if you've seen this before, but he's kneeling beside his horse. Pretty famous painting. Portraying George Washington on his knees before the Lord, seeking God's direction and deliverance for this new nation. He said the second great crisis that America faced then was the Constitutional Convention. And this is where he said 13 states, they almost broke up into 13 different nations. But then Ben Franklin, in the middle of the convention, he called for the people to pray. And you have a little excerpt right here. I don't know if you've read that in your bulletin, but this is an excerpt from Ben Franklin's speech at the Constitutional Convention delivered June 28, 1787. This is copied from the Library of Congress online. I hope that, I can't read through it right now, we don't have enough time, but I hope you read through this and recognize that America, even the blessing of the Constitution, was born out from those original document signers that got on their knees and prayed before God before each meeting, even after Ben Franklin here was leading them to that. Again, Billy said, you see just another instance, another crisis that was averted in America through prayer and outbirthed the Constitution through it. The third, he said, was the Civil War. And that's when brother fought against brother. That's when we have, he said, portraits, though, of both Abraham Lincoln and Robert E. Lee on their knees praying before God, seeking God's deliverance for a nation. But then Billy went on to say this. I thought this quite interesting. He said, now there is a fourth crisis in America. A fourth crisis. And this is the moral and spiritual crisis that is taking place right now in America. And he said, once again, America must overcome this moral crisis by falling to its knees and praying for God's help. Billy said, we have so much in America, but we can lose it all so fast. We must guard our liberty. And the best way to do that, he said, is to have a God-fearing nation filled with God-fearing people. Isn't that the truth? Really, four crises, and we're currently in the fourth. The three before, Billy said, was we were delivered through prayer. I guess the question is today, is the church willing to get back on its knees and pray and seek God's deliverance from the crisis of the moral decay and the spiritual decline which we are seeing take place right now in our nation? Humble themselves. Pray to God. Number three, believers are to seek the face of God. By praying, we're seeking God's face. What is the face of God? Well, the face of God is either smiling or frowning, right? When we're seeking God's face, we're seeking the smiling face of God. That is, we're seeking to do those things that please God, those things that God would be pleased with. Now we have to ask ourselves this question. Is our life something that would make God smile? Or is the life we're living something that would make God frown? I guess we could ask that personally. We could also ask that as a church, even as a nation. We're to seek the face of God. We're to do those things that would please God. The biggest threat to America is not really a terrorist or even homosexual sins. The biggest threat to America really is God Himself, isn't it? He's the one that has the power to destroy this nation and judge it. And so we should come before Him with reverence and fear, knowing that He is able to destroy both the body and the spirit in hell. We're to seek the face of God, and then notice there it says, we are to turn from our wicked ways. This is repentance, isn't it? Change our ways. Repentance is not just looking backwards, friends, but it's looking forwards. Regret is just looking backwards. If you're just regretful about your sin, that's not really repentance. Regret's just kind of a looking backwards, saying, well, I hate I did that. You know, there's a lot of people that are in prison today that are regretful that they committed, you know, the crimes. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they're repentant. We can be regretful and not be repentant. Repentance is looking forward to say that we seek to do differently in the future. We're changing ourselves to please God. Repentance is about God and our desire to please Him. Listen, nation would seek healing. My people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, repent. Then notice he says, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. You know, you think back to the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, in the end, there was no hope for Sodom, was there? Really, that time had came and went. Couldn't find even 10 righteous there. But remember, there were some who escaped. Lot made it out. His two daughters made it out. Well, his wife made it out halfway, but she ended up looking back. Look, there's hope, isn't there? God wasn't willing to destroy the righteous with the wicked. So is the case for us today. We need to be righteous, don't we? And know that God, our security is safe in Him, isn't it? No matter what happens to this nation, or any nation by that matter, if our faith is in Jesus, our salvation is in Christ, listen, friends, your eternity is secure. You don't have to worry about that one bit. Your eternal salvation is secure in Christ. Notice when he came out of that city, the angels said to Lot, I cannot destroy this place until you're safe. Isn't that beautiful? I'm not going to destroy this place until you're far enough away that God knows you're safe. Boy, what a blessing that is. Listen, God's not going to destroy us, is He? He's not going to destroy us. He's going to save us. He has saved us. And our eternity is absolutely secure in Him. I pray that each of you have made that commitment to receive Christ into your life. Because as much as you've done that, you've already escaped the judgment fires. The fires of brimstone. You've already escaped it. God has called you out. And you're secure in Him. Praise God. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, again we thank You for this story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Lord, what a tragic story it is. Lord, we pray that this isn't the tragic story of America. Lord, we pray that there will be revival, there'll be a healing of our land. And Lord, we pray that these sorts of things start right here within the local church. Lord, help us to bring about revival within our nation. Lord, have us to fall upon our knees and to seek Your face. Lord, have us to do those things which are pleasing to You. Have us to repent of the wickedness that we have in our own lives. Lord, that we might see then a turning of this nation around. And Lord, a people then that would be ashamed of their sin rather than out parading it around in the streets. Lord, we truly seek Your revival. We come before You as Your people. We humble ourselves before You. Lord, we seek to do Your will. Help us, Lord. Heal our land, I pray, from this wickedness in which we see that is taking hold today. We praise You, Lord. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Okay, we're going to gather now in our closing hymn. And then I'm going to give a prayer for a blessing for the meal. Bruce, will you guys need just a couple minutes before, just a little bit as they get everything kind of finalized? About 10 minutes, so they'll let us in after that. But I'll say a blessing in our in our closing prayer for the meal, so we'll be able to move in and eat and just enjoy the fellowship, and then at 1:30 we will have the CBM meeting. Okay, let's stand together now and sing on page 271, Standing on the Promises, page 271. Together in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are truly standing on your promises, even this promise that if we do these things, Lord, that you've called us to as your people, Lord, we humble ourselves. We come to you in prayer. Lord, we seek these good things, Father, that you will hear our prayer, and Lord, you will heal our nation. Lord, that's what we seek as we stand on these promises here this morning. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful, blessed nation in which we live, this amazing thing which you have created here called America. And we pray that it continues to be a beacon of light and hope and liberty to all the world. But Lord, we're going to need your help to do that. Father, we see this nation falling into the wrong hands. We see it being pushed in the wrong direction. And Lord, we need your revival to happen even now within this nation. Lord, we just praise you. Lord, bless the meal that we're about to receive. Thank you for the hands who have prepared it, Lord. Just bless the nourishment of this food to our body. Lord, we pray for this meeting as well as we enter into it. Lord, have your hand upon this church, I pray. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things together. Amen.